Are you feeling like you're on your own after the service? It's tough moving to a new place, starting a new chapter, and realizing that making real friends isn't as easy as it used to be. The dream is finding a crew of people that you actually click with, those who understand your drive, your struggles, and the simple need to connect without feeling like an outsider. Today, Navy veteran Michael Shahinyan shares how his own experience of isolation after transitioning led to creating Crew Social, a powerful way for veterans and civilians alike to build real-world friendships around shared interests. Whether you're into hiking, biking, book clubs, or just looking for a lunch buddy, this could be the lifeline that you've been missing. But before we dive into this episode, make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. You'll get my 5 favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. And I also want to take a moment to raise awareness for something deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial serves as both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support the mission, visit GWAT Memorial Foundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Michael, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here to kind of share your journey a little bit and tell us a little bit about what you've been up to since getting out of the Navy. But welcome to the show.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much, Scott, and thanks for all that you do to bring awareness to mental health in the veteran space. I think that's really, really important. And
yeah, absolutely. Yes, go ahead.
So I got out and went to business school, so that's kind of like a cool option that's available to some veterans, and I was able to use the GI Bill to pay for it, which is really, really neat. And yeah, after serving in the Navy for 4 years, I went to NYU Stern Business School, and it was a really, really great experience. I actually came up with this business idea when I moved there because I realized it was so difficult to make a group of friends in a new environment, and technology had not improved really much in the past, you know, several years in that. And even though I didn't actually pursue the idea at the time, that's where the seed was planted, was really when I was getting out and transitioning, you know, to civilian life.
Yeah. And just for context, what time period was this that you were talking about?
Yes. So I got out in 2015.
Okay. So yeah. around 2015, you know, that's still pre-COVID days. So people weren't, you know, into Zoom and all those other kind of apps that allow people to connect from all over the world. And I mean, obviously there were things like Facebook and, you know, those types of things back then, but, you know, they were, you know, different than what you were talking about, because maybe your friends on Facebook with, you know, your buddy from high school that lives, you know, on the other side of the country or whatever. And, you know, that's great. You can keep up and keep in connection with that person, but that's not really going to help you while you're living, you know, 3,000 miles away or however far. So that's you know, good for that type of connection, but you're looking more for that immediate, people around you in that immediate area, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so some of the best inventions that I think of kind of come from scratching your own itch. And that sounds like what you were trying to do here. And so we're going to get into talking a little bit about Crew Social, which is the company that you eventually developed and the platform that you're talking about here. But that came from an idea that you had while trying to scratch your own itch and having your own issues that you were trying to solve. And I found like so many great things get invented because someone's just like, hey, this is not the way I want it to be, and I want something better. So let's figure it out and make it better. And exactly. That sounds like what you did with Crew Social. Yes. Tell me about, you know, how that first off, how it came about, like a little bit more about like where that idea came from as you're transitioning out of the Navy and getting into school and all that. And then eventually down the line, you said, hey, you know, that might have some merit. So how did that journey take place?
Yeah, it was a long journey with lots of twists and turns. And in the end, I could kind of see how God had orchestrated the whole thing to be just right to get me kind of where I am right now. But in the time, in each moment, that wasn't really obvious, really, like that things were leading towards, you know, eventually launching this business. So I really, when I moved, I was trying to meet people, and I moved, critically important was I moved to New York a couple months before the semester started, which is what made me aware of this problem. If I had just jumped into the semester, like most students, you know, I would have been overwhelmed with the usual like student activities and stuff like that. And I may not have observed this problem essentially, which is that if you move to a city, you're really kind of on your own to figure out, you know, how to meet people and make a friend group from scratch. And it's pretty overwhelming. And the technology at the time, which frankly is still kind of the what most people are familiar with, but stuff like meetup.com, facebookgroups.com, they'll put 50 people in a room once a month, but they won't show you who to talk to in that room, right? So you walk up to some random person, you'll talk to them. Probably a great connection isn't going to be made, and then you wait 30 days to try it again, basically, right? And like most people aren't, you know, even going to do that. It's just, you know, it's not optimal. And then, you know, there's face swiping apps like Bumble BFF for making friends, and that doesn't really make sense for friendship. And so that's when I had this observation, like, wait a minute, there's a better way to do this. I mean, you can have, like, I want to be able to see stuff going on all the time, all around me, like small groups of stuff, and be able to jump into different activities at different times that fit into my schedule, and also find people that I want to do things with and have control over it. You know, like if I want to go on a bike ride tomorrow with, let's say, five people, I want to be able to create, you know, gather people to do that, people I don't know, but I want to be able to vet them. I don't want just any five people to come. I want to be able to control it.
Sure.
And so that idea was basically the origin of this.
You know, I've been to a few meetup groups where, you know, it's for, you know, general things that you might be interested in, and that's fine because you at least have that common interest of whatever that topic is that you're coming to meet up and hang out about. Sometimes they would have a speaker that was, you know, a guest brought in to talk about something that's relevant to whatever you're interested in. But you're right. There's not a lot of direct connection with the individuals. And then again, you got to wait till next month when they do it again. And even if you did make a good connection with somebody, who knows if they're going to show up next month. And then by 2 or 3 months later, when they show up again, you've almost forgotten about the person. And then, so there's not really a good connection there. And so I'm sure, you can exchange phone numbers and you can do stuff on your own, but that doesn't tend to happen all that often. And for the listeners who are maybe wondering, like, okay, why are we talking about this right now? Part of the reason why I wanted to have you on is, first off, you know, you were in the Navy. You know what it was like for you in your experience, transitioning out of the Navy, getting into school, moving to a different city, not really knowing anybody, probably feeling like an outsider. You know, Billy Madison effect, where you're kind of like the older guy in college, and you got a bunch of young kids in school, and you're a little bit older than them, and maybe didn't feel quite like you fit in. And that's a common thing with the veterans who end up going to school after getting out. Where do you find the group of like-minded people or people who are interested in the same type of activities that you are? And it doesn't have to be all veterans, right? But just people that you can now meet up with and connect with and do things with, whether you've moved to a new city or you just feel like, you know, the old guy, you know, next to the professor in the classroom, you're the old guy in the class and you don't really fit in with a ton of people. So, you know, so that's what we're trying to do, trying to help veterans find a tool that might help them with reducing the issues that they may face with that transition period.
Right.
A lot of times veterans are isolating. They're feeling like they just don't fit in. And so, I feel like this is a great tool. You kind of described it a little bit, but, what have you seen as far as, the user base and how it's been received by people who are trying to do what things like you described, like meeting that small group of people to go for a bike ride or maybe play basketball or, and it doesn't just have to be a athletic activity either. It could be, any of those types of things that you might be interested in, right? Like maybe give some ideas of what people might be using this for.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's just been incredible and so encouraging to see the platform being used the way it is and how vibrant it is and how it started to become vibrant really early on without even a ton of users on it, which was very encouraging. You know, we didn't know at what point that kind of vibrancy would happen. And it was fairly early and people do it. I mean, people use it for certainly sports activities, whether it's pickleball, kickball. They use it for church activities like, lunch after church and different book clubs and let's see, what else? Networking groups and movie nights. I mean, it's just the sky is the limit with Crew. That's the thing. And salsa dance night. I mean, it's endless. I mean, the list of things, every week and is so encouraging and we gather photos that people send to us every week as well, and it's just so it's so encouraging to see all that kind of life change happening. And we post a lot of that on our Instagram and so you can see just what a typical week in Crew Social is like and kind of the way that we are helping people. It's very encouraging. And we have all these testimonials from people who really just, they come up to us and just start thanking us for making the app and for, changing their lives in various ways and stuff. And like, that was not, I didn't initially expect people to start coming up to me and thanking me, I created this thing. And that started to happen pretty early on also, right? I mean, if you go to our, Instagram, you can see in the early days, 18 months ago, there's, people, coming up to me and thanking me. And we started after that happened, like maybe 10 times, I started asking people if they wouldn't mind, like just basically repeating what they just said on video, for like a minute or two. And usually they're like, oh yeah, no problem. Right. And that's really the origin of those testimonials. They're generally just repeating what they told us privately.
Yeah, sure. And when we have the ability to connect with people in this way, right? Let me take a step back. A few months ago, like late last year, I was in New York City for a conference, and the conference had thousands of people attending this conference. So, and we all were clearly interested in the subject of the conference, otherwise we wouldn't have all ventured to New York City and spent our time and resources and everything like that going there, right? Every day after the sessions ended at the end of the conference, I left the building. I had met people, I'd made connections, exchanged phone numbers and, LinkedIn contacts and all that kind of stuff. I left there. I had zero people from that conference that I was, able to go out to dinner with or to, just grab a drink or something like that, whatever it was. Not that I was necessarily looking for that, but those opportunities weren't really there. It wasn't that type of conference either, I wasn't necessarily looking for friends, but I guess what my point is with that is that it, even with thousands of people, all with similar interests, all concentrated in the same building, those opportunities weren't jumping out at you, for being able to even just have somebody to eat dinner with, and so going to a new city by yourself, you move there, whether you're living in an apartment or in a dorm or wherever it is that you're living, nobody knows you there. And, unless you happen to know some people already before you move there, but nobody knows you there, and they're not going out of their way to make introductions to you and find out who you are, because they have their busy lives and that's what they're going to go take care of. And they don't really care about you specifically as an individual until they do. And so how do they do that? You know, like things through your app where you meet up with people and you figure out ways to find people with interests in common. And then you get to know these people in real life, and then you can make those connections a little bit more organically. But sometimes it's just hard to find those people. You know, where do you find those people in real life, especially these days where everyone's burying their face in their phones and in-person talking interactions are fewer and far between, you know? So those types of things are just really hard to do these days, especially in a, you know, big city like that. You'd think it would be easy because there's just so many people, but you know, it's almost like too many people, right?
Right. Yeah. You bring up a great point, and that drives me to kind of the next realization that we had kind of shortly after starting the company, which was that this could be a great way to help people within organizations connect. Mm-hmm. And if that thesis is proven true, that could be a great way to monetize the company as opposed to relying on advertisements. And so that was kind of one of the pleasant surprises of this, is that we found that the community that we were creating started to get good at just a few hundred users. And so we knew that in that case, we know that if we invited at least 1,000 to, let's say, a private community for anything, for a corporation, for a church, for a university, well, of course you get at least a few hundred signups and you'd have a vibrant community.
Yeah, right.
And you know, we researched it and we found that there's actually a lot of studies supporting peer-to-peer connections among members of communities. And, whether it's corporations, churches, conferences, I mean, it increases engagement, it increases retention. For conferences, it would be repeat visits. For universities, it would be fewer dropouts. Mm-hmm. For corporations, it's less absenteeism, higher retention. You know, there's a list of studies for every vertical that we looked into. And so, so we have started, and we're currently pursuing corporations and churches because we have early traction there. But eventually, we're going to get into other verticals too. So, including conferences, including universities, and I'm not sure exactly, which conference you went to or whatever, but if it's a conference that especially values year-round connections amongst its members, right, and has, let's say, multiple events throughout the year and maybe things in different parts of the country, has concentrations of at least 1,000 members in different places at different times, then they could benefit tremendously from what we're doing, and their members will form like lifelong bonds there that will reinforce their brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I feel like in the platform that you've created, Crew Social, it's allowing people to just kind of branch out, make those connections in many different areas of their lives. So for example, like you were just talking about in a company where, a corporation may have their own private thing where, let's say someone wants to go for a walk at lunch, but they don't want to go for a walk alone. And so, hey, looking for people to go for a walk together, two or three people to go for a walk. They can search for those types of people on the internal company network. But then those people, they get talking to each other, get to know each other, and then they can, maybe they're making, these in-person connections and it becomes something, bigger and better than just going for a walk at lunchtime. When I look at an app like this, I think about the service members who very often they get out and they just are so shut off by the civilian society. They don't want to try to figure it out. They don't want to go out of their way to do anything with the civilian population. So they end up isolating themselves, and that's not a very great place to be from a mental health perspective. You're doing all sorts of things that, you know, you need connection. You're doing all these things by yourself, but you need to have some sort of connection in your life. And that becomes extremely difficult, because when you get used to being alone and isolated like that, it becomes easier to just say, well, this is just how it is. And it becomes harder and harder to make those social connections. So, you know, for people who maybe are just starting on this journey, getting out of the military, or maybe people have been out for a while and have been isolated from the rest of the world for a while, this seems like a great, great path to get back into joining up with some people, right?
Right. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Ned, I think this would really help the veteran community. And we have a number of veterans right now in the app. I mean, two of my close friends at our church and our church community are also fellow vets. We've all been helped tremendously by this thing. I mean, I met my wife at a hangout, on the app, right? And we, both her and I, had been looking for someone for a long time, basically ever since I, got out of the Navy. So, which was about, 10 years before we met, and we met at a hangout, a casual after church lunch hangout that someone just threw up on the app that 15 people showed up to. And we met there, and then we became friends, on the app, and then we coordinated going to hangouts for, over the next month, before we even, ever exchanged numbers or anything. Right. And then we exchanged numbers and started dating and stuff. And so it was absolutely amazing. And the other veterans I know, have, met a lot of really great people, as well. And, it is really, really encouraging. And we're actually talking to, an Air National Guard base, about, using us, for an air show initially, and then, potential follow-on community, for the base itself, like for MWR, so for the families and stuff to improve, those. And we actually, there are actually a couple of state reps who want to use us, in the state of Florida. They want us to build like a white labeled app for the state of Florida for vulnerable populations, including veterans.
Okay.
And so, it would be the baseline activities would be like existing activities for veterans and single mothers and stuff like that, that are all over the state. But this would stitch it through in a magical way and let people find and meet their people. Right. And network in a very accelerated way and make these strong connections.
Sure.
That are supported by a lot of studies. I mean, when I started researching this, for, the veteran community, I was actually stunned by the studies that are out there. I mean, the VA has found that loneliness is actually the highest factor correlated with depression and suicidal ideation. And they actually recommend frequent in-person hangouts as the solution, which is incredible, right?
And there couldn't be a better endorsement right there, right?
It really couldn't be. And these are studies that came out, a few years ago, we had nothing to do with, and it's just, so it's incredible that they, they came out with these things, and it's supporting really exactly what we do.
Yeah. You had talked about something, just a second ago about, coordinating with a Air National Guard base, but I was in the Army National Guard. So familiar with the National Guard, the reserves, that type of, service where you don't necessarily have a big base with a lot of resources available to you. I was in the Connecticut Army National Guard. Right. The closest active duty military base was a naval base down on the shore in New London.
Yeah.
And that was like probably over an hour away from where I lived. And so there really wasn't much as far as resources available to us, especially in a small state like that, where there's sporadic armories, around the state. They're kind of just positioned all over the place. But, there's no real, central area where you can go where there's, activities for military families or anything like that. It just, it doesn't happen that way, you know, too often. I'm not saying that they never had anything, but it's just, in general, it's not something that takes place. But but if there was a way to get connected with people through an app like this, where it was, hey, you know, Connecticut National Guard members, you know, check out this app, you know, to get together with other military families and, you know, for whatever the event might be. And, you can connect with people and get to know them and, hang out. And obviously you know, the people that you serve with, but there's people outside of that too. Maybe even for the spouses when, their loved one is deployed, or off training someplace, like, you know, maybe want to get together because kind of lonely for the next, you know, however many weeks or months that the person might be away. And so that might be a cool way to get some of those families together and get them, even, you know, if they have young kids, they can get those people together and they can do things together. And you know that those people are, you know, looking for something to do because you're looking for something to do too. And maybe, you know, just get those people together. So, that kind of just triggered something in my head too, that just made a whole lot of sense that you would get together with, the National Guard bases, not just for, air show purposes, which I'm sure that's great, but, ongoing for the military families and everything too. I think that's incredible. But then, like you said, the veteran populations, like, you know, in different states, that there's a lot of work to be done in this area.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And to your point, this base is very rural and isolated, and that was one of the points they made, is that it's in a beautiful area with a lot of, you know, wildlife and scenery and stuff like that, and outdoor things to do. But there's not, like, you have to kind of create your own activities, right, and create your own community and things like that. Cool. Right. And so with a tool like this, you know, the airmen can coordinate, you know, lots and lots of healthy activities and outdoor things, hiking and kayaking and all kinds of stuff. Right. And in a really safe, healthy way, which would be very difficult to do without a tool like this.
Yeah, exactly. Because to the point that we were talking about earlier, you know, you're not going to just, you know, pick up the phone and call a random stranger and say, hey, you want to go for a hike and, you know, check out the scenery in this area. You know, it's like, well, you might be a serial killer. So no, you know, like that's absolutely not. But, you know, through an app like this, you know, you kind of can vet some of the people, get to know a little bit about their background, I'd imagine too, before, you know, going and doing that. So you're not going to just pick up the phone and call someone randomly, but the app, you know, you get to kind of know the people a little bit beforehand, right? Is that kind of how it works?
That's exactly right. Yeah. You get to control who you hang out with. So it has a double opt-in system. And so you have to be either invited to hang out, or you have to ask to join and be accepted, essentially. So before you get the exact location and access to chat and all that stuff. So so you get to, if you're the organizer, you get to control who you're hanging out.
And it'd probably be I would imagine there's a way that you can kind of say, like, invite only type of thing, where you know, only if you know somebody who we actually know, so they can vet you and say that you're actually legit and you're good to go, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine is a way that you could probably do that, right? And that just gives that one more sense of security, you know, versus just random meetups where you have no idea who's showing up. And I've been to some meetups, and some of the people who showed up were like, oh my gosh, I can't get out of here fast enough, you know?
Of course. Yeah. And yes. And you can invite as many or as few people, you know, as you want. Right.
Right.
And it will also, it shows you who you have a lot in common with, gets a special badge in the app as a good potential friend. And you can click on their profiles if they, you know, if they ask to join you, for example, and you can see what you have in common. It will highlight that, and it'll highlight those attributes in Lime. And so you can see, like, okay, these are the things we have in common. These are the things, you know, to talk about and stuff like that. And it's, And it's a very detailed profile. I mean, it's all optional, of course. You can fill out as much or as little as you want, but it's much more detailed than Facebook or LinkedIn, for example.
Yeah, and I've been to other conferences, not the one that I was talking about this last time, but I've been to other conferences where there's, you know, a list of attendees on like the conference website, or sometimes they have an app or something like that. Yeah. And they do similar things to that where they list shared interests. You know, here are the people who, you know, have these types of interests or maybe from a certain geographic area, they'll connect you that way. And then when you get there, you know already that, okay, these are the people that I'm kind of looking for, that I want to hang out with, and I want to learn more about or talk with and get to know these folks. And so that sounds like exactly what you're talking about here. And this is just on a much bigger scale, because you can scale this out, not just to one particular conference, although you could do it just for that, event, but you can scale this out to a much bigger thing, where it's cities or states or countries, even, you know, where you can scale this out to any number of people that you want. And that to me is a really good way to get folks connected. And, you know, especially, you know, the PTSD, other social issues that veterans are having, that's a big challenge. And it allows them to kind of tip their toe in the waters, and, you know, they don't have to jump right in, but they can do as little or as much as they're comfortable with doing, and, you know, get themselves back into the swing of things. You know, maybe start with smaller groups of, you know, maybe five people or so, and then you can expand out from there. So that's, you know, in terms of like the mental health, the social connection, those types of things that we were talking about, I think this can be an incredible tool to support those kind of veterans who are struggling with those types of issues, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we have been, one of our investors is actually, connected to the VA as well as one of the top nationwide veterans organizations. And so we're planning to have a conversation with both of them about working with them, you know, to do, you know, it can be a white labeled app or whatever, but to help that community out specifically.
Well, and I can even see organizations like these big national organizations, in American Legion or VFW or, you know, any of those types of organizations where they can get their members, you know, in a, you know, kind of like a white labeled app like that, where they can get those folks together and they can, you know, organize their own events outside of, you know, normal, you know, VFW meetings or those types of things, where they might go into their local chapter and do that, whatever the meetings are. They can organize stuff outside of that as well. Because some of these chapters might be so big that you may not know necessarily everybody who's in it, or even in neighboring chapters that you aren't a part of necessarily. But still, why not be able to connect these people together and be able to, you know, foster some of that community and those other connections, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And we use the organization's existing activities, whether it be the VFW or, you know, corporation or church or whatever, we use their existing activity as the baseline for the app. Right. So it helps with those. It helps you find your people at those who you have the most in common with and stuff like that. But we also allow user generated hangouts and, you know, as long as the organization is fine with it, and there's different ways to control it, and there's a lot of guardrails and stuff like that with that. But in general, that's the part that really, you know, makes it amazing, because there's so many different things that can be done, right? So now, instead of, you know, one or two things a month, now you're talking about, you know, dozens of things, right? You're talking about at least something every day, right? All over the place, and people interacting with the kinds of activities that they specifically want to do, right? Like maybe they want to do a movie night or a painting thing or a book club or whatever, right? They can use the app to find their people doing whatever they want.
Yeah. And the nice thing for the user is that they can do as little or as much as they want with this type of these types of activities. They maybe saying, yeah, there's dozens of activities that you can do a month, through this thing. That might sound overwhelming to certain people, and they're like, I don't know what all that. Well, you don't have to do all of them, right? Sure. There's some of those out there that you may not be interested in a book club, maybe,
right,
for example, but you might be interested in, going hiking with some folks, or, painting or something, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, go do the things that you're interested in, and you'll start to make those connections. And, maybe each of those activities only meets once a month, but some of those people there's going to be some crossover between those groups, and you're going to start to meet some of those people. It'll be maybe on a weekly basis that you're meeting some of these people, you get to do, different events. So again, I just, for the listeners who are with us right now, I want them to just understand what it is that we're talking about here. We're really just trying to just battle this isolation, that very often takes place after the transition out, especially dealing with people with PTSD or other mental health conditions. These transitions can be exceptionally difficult for a veteran. And sometimes the easy thing is to just get into that isolation. And that's unfortunately not the best thing to do, but it's what a lot of us find ourselves doing. And we don't want to continue going down that road. We don't want our veterans to do that. We want them to be able to get out and socialize and start to thrive, and not just kind of shrink and wither away, right? Which I'm sure you maybe were starting to feel that, in your college days before, classes started and all that, when you moved to a new city and didn't know anybody. And yeah, sure, maybe for the first few days it was fine because it's a big city, it might be new, exciting, but then once you've kind of explored all the hot spots, okay, now what's next, right? And that's you probably started to feel quite alone, and that's pretty difficult to go through when you're especially in a big city like that, right?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. No, I mean, actually, people say New York is the loneliest city in the world, right? Which is say, right? Because I mean, yeah, there's tons of people, but everybody's doing their own thing, and also people are very driven career wise, right? And so they're spending long hours at work and stuff like that, and people tend to stay in their lanes and everything, and so it's a very challenging situation. I think to move to any new city without being part of some kind of existing program. If you're going there for a school or something, then you're slotted into a program. Now, of course, schools have their own issues with loneliness and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We actually have had a lot of interest from universities too. Yeah. So there is stuff going on there, but let's say for the transitioning veteran who's getting out and is moving to, a city with, especially without a family, right? And moving to a city and is, for a new job or something like that. I mean, it's just brutal, right? It's just absolutely brutal, right? And maybe he or she will eventually find some of these tools, like the meetup, like the Facebook groups and stuff like that. But like I said, I mean, those tools are so weak that you could keep up with it for a year before you make a friend.
Right. Exactly.
Because it's so weak. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if they do have a family, you said, especially if they don't have a family, but even if they do have a family, their family, if let's say the service member goes and gets a job and that's why they move to the new city, and their spouse maybe is still staying at home, with their kids or something like that. They don't maybe have a job, or maybe they do have a job. And maybe they don't have any kids, whatever their living situation happens to be. It might be a new city for that person too. And they might want to, meet up with someone, for a different activity than their spouse.
Yeah.
And so, maybe the spouse is into outdoor activities and the other one's into, a book club or something. And so they're going to be looking for those types of people as well. And so, it's helpful for all around, the entire, I feel like the entire military communities currently serving or, or not, it's going to be beneficial all the way around. So, this is definitely something I want to, definitely highlight and get those, get that resource out to the listeners. I was going to ask you a question, but I think you already kind of answered it, because I was going to ask you what one of the more impactful success stories that you've witnessed through this program, but you met your wife through Crew Social. So I don't know. I really can't think of anything more impactful than that, than finding someone that you can spend the rest of your life with. Do you have any kids? Yeah.
We don't have any kids yet. No, we just, we got married literally, we met literally just a few months after the thing launched, 8 months ago or so. And then we got married a year later. So we got married about 6 months ago. Okay. And yeah, no, it's been great.
Excellent.
We do want to have a family, and hopefully the Lord will bless us with that at some point. But, we're enjoying our marriage, and it's such a blessing, the way God used our own app to bring us together in kind of a serendipitous way, which was not expected, was just incredible. Right. And we're both kind of dating and wondering for several years, like, where's my person? why can't I meet anyone, good and, stuff like that. And then in the end it was like, okay, no, God used like your own app to do it. Right. Which obviously 5 years before that wouldn't happen. So,
right.
Like, oh, okay. Got it. So this is great. And it happened completely serendipitously. Right. I mean, like I said, we were at a, just an after church lunch hangout with 15 people, and you couldn't even do that on any other platform. There's no other platform. You can just do it. I mean, casual, someone can throw up a, casual after church lunch hangout for 15 people. You can't put that. You just can't do that anywhere else.
Right. So to me, that's probably one of the more impactful stories. I would imagine that probably came through there. And the reason why I asked about kids, if you had any kids, was because then literally someone's lives could be tied back to this app. And that's pretty impressive as well. And I'm, who knows, maybe there might be some other folks who met and got married and maybe had kids. And so maybe there are some souls that are walking around this planet right now that maybe wouldn't have been had this app not existed. And so, it's just amazing how people can meet and get connected and, battle that loneliness and the isolation. Right. This is certainly an incredible thing that you have put together, and I'm really glad to be able to share it on the show. Before we wrap up, can you tell the listeners a little bit about where they can learn more about Crew Social and connect with either you or the team, or where they can get started with it?
Oh yeah, 100%. And let me share. Actually, I'll share the most impactful story sticking in my head that someone else has told me, that a friend has told me on the app, is he said that, and this is on our, you can see this on our Instagram from March. His name is Luke, and he came with us to a serve project that my wife and I were leading once a month, and he. He was, raving about the app and stuff like that. I said, oh, great, you online saying that on video, right? So we started recording the video. And then he said something that he actually, didn't say to me in the few minutes before we started recording, which he said that the Christmas hangouts on Crew, with friends in the community was the best Christmas he's ever had. And he's a grown man in his 30s. I mean, he's not a 3-year-old child saying it's the best Christmas ever. He's had 30 something Christmases already, right?
Yeah.
And so, but his family's far away. He couldn't, go home to see them and stuff. His job, his office closed for Christmas, and so he's like, well, doesn't really have anything obvious to do. And someone, again, the company had nothing to do with this. Somebody put up some great Christmas hangouts like at their home and doing different activities on the app, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually went to one of these things too, and it was amazing. It was wonderful. It was gifts being exchanged, and you know, all kinds of stuff. And it was a fantastic experience. But to hear that it impacted someone that much, that it was the best Christmas he's ever had, was like, thanks to Crew Social. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's really a lot to take in. I mean, that really impacted me.
Yeah, for sure. I would imagine that would, it would impact me too. I would think, because, for someone who's, you know, in their 30s, you know, 30 some odd Christmases that they've had, and this was the best. That's pretty incredible. And,
that's a lot. Yeah.
I think that would maybe be chalked up as a Christmas miracle. I think we can go with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. It was fantastic. I'm thrilled we're able to facilitate experiences like that. And, so if people want to get involved, so there's a couple ways. One, if you live in Tampa, go ahead, download the app and start doing hangouts, right? So we do have a public community that anyone can join. The public community has a fair amount of stuff going on in Tampa currently. We haven't done anything to promote the public community because we're doing this enterprise first strategy where we are working on talking to churches, corporations, other organizations about making private communities within the app. Gotcha. Again, if you're in Tampa, feel free to reach out to, let's say, one of our team members. So Ashley@crewsocial.com. And if you're interested in joining one of our church communities, for example, and we can get you in there as well. And so you'll see even more stuff, you know, going on in the app. If you're outside of Tampa, feel free to use the app, to organize, coordinate whatever you want. We have a new WhatsApp GroupMe replacement feature that's actually way more powerful because it shows each person who they have the most in common with in the group. And it has a hangout coordination feature for the group. Okay. And so, very, very powerful. It creates a new thread for every hangout and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
And if you want this to be used, by your corporation or your church, please, reach out to us. We have a gift card incentive program for any referrals that we get. We just really, the only requirement is that they have, at least 1,000 members. So ideally between 1,000 and 5,000 members, whether it's a corporation or a church, either way, that's kind of like the size that we're going for right now. Right. It really means at least 1,000 people invited to a private community. More than 5,000, it just becomes a complicated conversation. So that's a way to get involved, and you can email, Ashley as well, about that. Just let her know, and we'll get in touch, we'll get you a gift card if it's a customer that makes sense for us. That's it.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, we will put some links in the show notes for the listeners. And you said download the app. Any of the App Store and Google Play and all that kind of stuff is where you can go. Yep. So we'll put those links in the show notes for the listeners. But Mike, it's been great chatting with you. Learning a little bit about Crew Social and how it can help those folks who are just kind of out there isolated and not really able to make those connections on their own. And so I think this is a great opportunity for folks to get together, connect, and get that real in-person connection, the real life in-person connections. I think it's just a great opportunity. So thank you again for taking the time to come on and for doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thanks for having me, Scott. And thanks for all the work that you put into this podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.